This is WRAL News, your number one source for local news.
We are watching the numbers. As of today, more than 6% of North Carolina's population has tested positive for the coronavirus. Thanks for joining us tonight. I'm Julian Grace. In the last day, the state reported more than 7,100 new cases. That's slightly down from the number reported yesterday. For the third day in a row, we recorded more than 100 deaths. We learned of 122 in the last 24 hours, also slightly below yesterday's number. As for hospitalizations, it's the lowest number we've seen so far this year, with just over 3,400 people hospitalized. Right here in North Carolina, it has its first confirmed case of the highly contagious COVID-19 variant, first identified in the UK. The North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services identified the strand in an adult in Mecklenburg County. Now, this afternoon, we talked to an infectious disease expert on what we should expect.
It's now here, B117, the COVID-19 variant from the UK. Since January 22nd, there have been 195 cases reported in 21 states. Now make that 22.
I think we're concerned about new variants that are happening across the world because, as we know, viruses don't like to stay put and they don't respect borders or passports or checkpoints.
Dr. David Wall, an infectious disease expert with UNC Health, is watching this unfold. This at a time when supply for COVID-19 vaccine is low, but the demand is high. But even if you do get the shot, is the vaccine effective against this new variant?
Vaccine works, so far as we can tell, and I think we have some really strong data about this now emerging. Vaccine looks like it works just fine against this UK virus.
During our interview, we asked Dr. Wall how we can protect ourselves.
The first thing we can do is the same old mantra, and I'm sorry to repeat it every time, but it's so important now more than ever. We have to protect ourselves from getting infected. And if we're infected, even unknowingly, we can't be transmitting this to other people.
Dr. David Montefiore, a virologist at Duke University, has the only lab in the state currently studying the UK and South African variants. He gave his thoughts on the impact the variant will have in the U.S.
The more people that get vaccinated, the fewer transmission events we're going to have, and will slow down the spread of any variant that's here that might have an advantage for transmission, and will also prevent new variants from emerging.
Here's a big tip not to forget. Dr. David Wall says it is important to wash your hands often and wear a mask in attempts to keep the new variant at bay. Today, people in Cumberland County, they did this. They lined up for the vaccine. The drive-through clinic at the Crown Complex started at 9 this morning. Health leaders had advised people to show up early because they had a limited number of vaccines available today. Some traveled across county lines just to receive the shot.
I've seen on the news following COVID vaccine availability that on the WRAL website that the Cumberland County folks were offering a drive-up clinic today. And so I thought I'd ride over from Moore County and see if I could get in line. And so far, so good.
Cumberland County is planning to hold vaccine drive-through events each Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday at the Crown Complex, depending on how many doses they have available. The Durham VA Health Care System has now extended vaccinations to veterans ages 65 and older. A mass COVID-19 vaccination event today allowed hundreds of veterans to get the shot. WRAL's Laura Levine is live from the VA. And Laura, how's that rollout process going there?
Well, Julian, we've talked a lot about the slow and steady rollout process here in Durham County. But here at the Durham VA, it's quite the opposite. If you take a look here, the VA's goal of administering 400 doses a day, that's Monday through Thursday, is right on track. That's 1,600 people a week. And that's not including the large amount of people who received their shot here today.
The Durham VA was able to get through phase 1A pretty quickly, vaccinating veterans and employees. To date, they have administered a total of 7,000 doses, and things continue to ramp up here. As you can see in this video, the VA hosted its first mass vaccination event inside its cafeteria. That was for veterans ages 65 and older.
I'm looking forward to seeing my children in a few months or several months, and my grandchildren, who I haven't been able to be around.
And while many of these veterans were anxiously waiting for this day, I'm told there were a few challenges along the way.
Just getting enough pharmacy staff, as well as nursing staff, schedulers, everyone to assist with the flow. We also had to redesign some of our spaces because veterans need to wait for 15 minutes at least after they receive their vaccination, and we want to make sure that they're distanced.
And Julian, this is just the beginning of this large effort. Another mass vaccination site event is scheduled for February 6th and 7th, where they're planning to schedule up to 3,000 appointments.
Well, the demand for the shot continues to grow. Thank you. Laura Levine reporting live tonight in Durham. Today in Sampson County, hundreds of people waited in line for their chance to be vaccinated. Sampson County had 1,600 doses available at this vaccination event. People started lining up overnight to claim their spot. At some points, the line stretched for miles. Early arrivers waited for hours later in the day, but wait times were down to about 45 minutes.
Moving pretty good.
Moving really quick.
When we got here, we were, oh my gosh. It's probably, what, 3 miles around there, 2 miles lined up. But I'm impressed with the way it's moving.
The people, great. The shot, no more than we got the polio shot. We didn't know what was in it. So anything to spare our life, we need it.
Wow, people want the vaccine, you can see there. Now, we do want to stress the vaccines were available to people 65 and older. Let's take a look at the curve. Our average new cases is just above 6,400. That's the lowest we've seen since January 2nd. The number of average daily deaths is at 81. That's the highest we've seen this week as this curve rises after a lull. The average number of people hospitalized is just over 3,700. We are on a downward trend after months of increasing numbers. New tonight, the pilot of a small plane is in the hospital after crashing into Lake Norman. Officials say in Iredell County, they say a bystander got the pilot onto a boat and back to the shore. The pilot was the only person on board the plane when it crashed. It's not clear how badly that person is hurt or what caused the crash. Highway 98 is back open in Durham County after a crash closed the road in both directions. This was the scene this afternoon near Valleydale Road. At least two cars were involved in a crash there. We're still working to learn more about how it happened and whether anyone was hurt. A Raleigh man who runs a popular Christmas light display is charged with secret peeping. WRAL's Adam Owens tells us where the warrants say he was hiding cameras.
Fieldstream Farm on Old Stage Road in Raleigh is well known for its popular drive-through Christmas light display. Visitors often share pictures like these online. But authorities say their concern was a camera secretly installed in a women's restroom. According to a warrant, it was located in a floor heater. Deputies with the Wake County Sheriff's Office say a worker on the farm discovered it. Now 64-year-old Lynn Honeycutt, the owner of the farm, is charged with a felony count of secret peeping. WREL has talked with Honeycutt before.
The Bible tells us to serve.
It was back in 2011. Honeycutt volunteered with a North Carolina Baptist Men disaster relief team, helping Raleigh residents recover from tornadoes.
Mr. Honeycutt was a volunteer for us.
Tom Beam with the North Carolina Baptist Men says it's been years since Honeycutt last volunteered with them. He says all volunteers are background checked, and when Honeycutt helped as a site coordinator years ago, he says they received no complaints.
Even with Mr. Honeycutt, the experiences people had with him through our organization were positive.
Adam Owens, WRAL News.
We visited Fieldstream Farm for a comment. A person who greeted us declined to comment. The investigation is still ongoing. A Raleigh woman is facing charges accused of trying to embezzle hundreds of thousands of dollars. According to court documents, Sarah Brock is charged with intent to embezzle money. Investigators say she planned to embezzle more than $280,000 from the Wellington properties. At the time, she was the administrator for Wellington Advisors, LLC. Legendary radio and TV host Larry King has died. The announcement came on King's official Twitter account. The 87-year-old died this morning at a Los Angeles hospital where he was being treated for COVID-19. It's not clear if the virus caused his death. King had a career spanning nearly 60 years in television and radio and was well known for his interviews with politicians, celebrities, and other newsmakers. Today, NCCU honored the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. by handing out food to those in need. As part of the university's month-long efforts to honor King, students were out in the community handing out bag lunches and other supplies to people in Durham. Scenes playing out across Russia today echoes all the way to New York City. Coming up, see the latest of thousands of protesters and what they're demanding. They're demanding the release of a jailed Russian opposition leader. Plus, there's finally a Mega Millions jackpot winner. That is correct. We'll tell you where after the break. Amy.
Clear skies in place across the viewing area right now, and that's going to mean for some cold temperatures overnight. I'll show you how cold it gets in your area and an update on a system that could bring some wintry weather next week. That's coming up.
Support for a jailed Russian opposition leader is reaching well beyond Russia's borders and all the way to New York City. This is video of a gathering today outside the Russian consulate in New York City. Protesters are calling for the release of Alexei Navalny. Matthew Bodner reports from Moscow.
I'm standing here about 500 yards away from Pushkin Square, the central Moscow location chosen by Russia's opposition for large-scale protests today in support of the jailed opposition leader, Alexei Navalny. He, of course, was arrested less than a week ago, immediately upon return to Russia. He's been in Berlin the past several months, recovering from what he says is an assassination attempt by the Russian Federal Security Services. And while everyone expected him to get arrested on arrival, the big question was what would happen after that. Russian authorities signaled that they were planning to do some legal maneuvering to throw him behind bars for 3.5 years. Essentially, they're now looking for a way to just be done with the Navalny problem. Previously, he's only served very short sentences. We've also seen some reports in the past few days that the Kremlin is even trying to find some kind of legal way to add up to 10 years onto that sentence. The stakes have never actually been higher for Mr. Navalny. And all week, his team has been calling on his supporters to come out today and show them, as Mr. Navalny has said, that they are not afraid anymore and that they've had enough. The most recent independent estimates say that 40,000 people came out here in Moscow. And from what we've seen, that's very much accurate. And I think that it's very much the message that Mr. Navalny's team was hoping that the Russian public would send today. We're still looking for numbers nationwide, but this happens all across the country today. For NBC News, I'm Matthew Bodner in Moscow.
A man charged in connection with the Capitol riot is accused of threatening Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Court documents show Garrett Miller of Texas allegedly tweeted, "Assassinate AOC." He's also accused of posting a threat about the police officer who fatally shot a Trump supporter during the Capitol attack. Miller is facing 5 federal charges. A court hearing is scheduled for Monday. The Charlotte Motor Speedway in North Carolina is the first major sporting venue to offer mass COVID-19 vaccinations. The clinic is part of a partnership called announced by Atrium to establish mass vaccination sites and inoculate 1 million North Carolinians by July 4th. The clinic first opened its gates on Friday and anticipated giving up to 16,000 vaccines by Sunday. Wow. Well, there's finally a Mega Millions jackpot winner. One ticket in Michigan matched all 6 numbers drawn on Friday for the $1 billion, yes, with a B, dollar jackpot. 10 tickets matched all 5 numbers to get the second prize of $1 million. 2 of them included the optional Mega Plier for a total of $2 million. Officials say one of those $2 million Mega Millions tickets was sold right here in North Carolina. It was at the Minuteman Food Mart in Leland, which is in Brunswick County. Do I know anyone there? That is the big question tonight.
Wasn't me.
Maybe. Hey, Amy, how are you doing tonight? You know, I stepped outside, beautiful sunshine, but it was nippy when that wind started blowing.
It really was. Our high, Julian, was only 48 degrees. So it was a chilly day, and that combined with winds gusting more than 20 miles per hour, it just felt chilly all day, and it will turn cold overnight tonight. Right now, we have temperatures in the 30s and 40s, already down to 32 degrees right now in South Hill, 40 in Rocky Mount, 41 in Raleigh, 43 in Fayetteville, and 39 in Southern Pines. Clear skies. The winds will lighten up overnight tonight, and that's going to allow that temperature to drop. And it will quickly. We'll be down into the 20s just after midnight. Our low tomorrow morning down into the low 20s. So bundle up if you're headed out early tomorrow morning. It is going to be a cold start. The second half of the day will be okay. We'll have a little bit of cloud cover arriving during the afternoon. Still cool, but not as windy as it was today. Highs tomorrow in the upper 40s to low 50s. So quiet for the entire weekend. Thanks to this area of high pressure, We do have that northerly flow around that high pressure system, so it is definitely chilly throughout the weekend. Our next system that we're watching is right here. It's a low pressure system. It's going to bring us rain as we get into Monday, so make sure to have those umbrellas handy. We have another system that arrives Wednesday night into Thursday. It's this low pressure system here. If it were to take a southern track, we'd have more of a snow scenario, but right now it looks like it's going to take this northern track, so it's likely going to be just cold rain. That's what the thinking is right now. This system hasn't even really developed, so we have several days to watch it, but right now it's looking mainly like a cold rain with a wintry mix in our northern counties. So let's map out both systems hour by hour with Futurecast. This is Monday morning at 6 a.m. looking dry with cloudy skies, and then as we head through the morning commute, we'll start to see those showers increase, and we'll have showers throughout the day. This is lunchtime on Monday. Rain is likely. It will continue into the evening commute. Tuesday morning, we could have some lingering showers, but it's really just the morning, and then it clears out, and it's warm. Highs will be in the upper 60s on Tuesday, so Tuesday afternoon looks pretty good. As we get into Wednesday, most of the day is quiet. We could have a couple of showers down to the south. Most of us stay dry, and then Wednesday night, this is 11 p.m., a few showers possible. Temperatures will be above freezing and likely stay above freezing throughout the entire event, but we'll pause the clock here at 6 a.m. on Thursday morning, and notice how there's some pink up to the north, so we can't rule out a wintry mix. Right now, it looks like all of the accumulating snowfall will stay well to our north, but we'll keep an eye on this system as it develops and as it moves onshore to the United States as we get into tomorrow night, but right now, looking mainly like just a cold rain for us. Tonight, it is going to be very cold. It is dry. Temperatures in the low 20s for many of you, mid-20s down to the south, so again, bundle up if you're headed out early tomorrow morning, maybe to run some errands. And then as we get into Monday, rain is likely mild with rain in the morning on Tuesday, then drying out. Wednesday is mainly dry, some showers down to the south. Wednesday night into Thursday, it looks like we have rain mainly Thursday morning, maybe a wintry mix for our northern counties, and then dry for the end of the week and into next weekend with highs in the 40s and 50s. A lot going on in this 7-day, a little something for everyone, Julian.
Amy, I'm still focused on Tuesday, 67 degrees.
Yeah, and it'll be dry the second half of the day, too.
Okay, thank you, Amy. Casey is with us. Casey, the Duke Blue Devils, they're in a position we don't see them in often right
now. No, not very often is it that Duke is on the outside looking in when it comes to tourney time, but on the road, they've got a good chance to pick up a good win today. Plus, NC State back in action after a week off due to COVID. Why not jump right in with a good old-fashioned tobacco road battle? Highlights from Chapel Hill next.
WRAL Sports starts now.
Well, just 1 month ago, NC State did a little bit of a dismantling of North Carolina at PNC Arena. Despite the Tar Heels being down 17 points and making a late push, the Pack led for nearly the entire game, and when it mattered most, the defense stiffened up and held the Heels scoreless from the field in the final 2 minutes of the game. Hey, good evening, everyone. Roy Williams said after that game that the defensive grades were not just bad, but terrible. But since that day, the Heels have gotten better. Now, as for State, not only have they not won since December 30th, but Kevin Keats' group hasn't even played in 10 days due to COVID. So Williams looking to avoid his first sweep at the hands of his Raleigh rival, while the quick question for Keats, how much rust would we see? Not much from the jump. Check out the no look behind the back and give and go from Devin Daniels. He drains three of his game high 21 points. Now, Manny Bates back in his first game since January 9th, 10 points and 7 blocks in his return, but UNC's bench would start to take over. Dayron Sharp, a must inside for a pair. Heels would get 38 points from the bench today, and they would have a 10-point lead at the half. Over to the second half, Heels still pounding the paint. Armando Bacot, 17 points on the afternoon. UNC shot 54% for the second game in a row, but the win was one off the glass, out-rebounding the Pack 43-30 en route to an 86-76 win.
I thought this game, we had a chip on our shoulder. You know, last game, we came in, State was like 58% first half, making everything on us. He wasn't defending the ball screen on properly. They were just like doing everything they wanted versus us. So like I feel like we had a chip on our shoulder and just wanted like, to prove that we could defend them.
Well, Tar Heels defended better for sure, but for Kevin Keats, it was all about defending against a layoff that played into tripping up his team's rhythm and timing being back on the court. Here's Jared Fialco with more.
One aspect of playing in a pandemic has been proven true. once stopped, there is no such thing as just picking back up where a squad left off.
Paul's is hurt. And, you know, and here's the crazy thing. Coaches, we love to have control, but we cannot control what happens with this virus.
I've never been a part of a season, you know, where it can just, you just shut down for, you know, 8, 10, 12, 14 days. And, you know, you just pick right back up and it's normal.
For large portions of Saturday, the Pack looked unfazed by the hiatus, efficient on offense. But it's what can go unnoticed, though. Rhythm, timing.
It's hard to just pinpoint just like one specific moment. It's just like, just moments where like we have some like breakdowns that we know that we're supposed to do like one thing, but something else happens.
From a glass half full perspective, at least the Packs put the pause behind them.
Whenever we get back in practice, will be the first time in probably 15 to 16 days that we've had our entire team in there.
From a pessimistic point of view, tomorrow's never guaranteed in times like these.
We may have another one. We could have one in the next couple of days. It's no excuse, but your team is just not the same team when you don't have a chance to practice as much as you can be, and you have to live with that.
Jared Fialco, WRAL Sports, Chapel Hill.
And Duke was on the road at Louisville today, and they were had a chance to get a big marquee win here. Matthew Hurt had 24 points, including all three-pointers here, but they lose this one late, 70-65. We're going to hear from Coach K coming up tonight at 10 and 11, Julian.
Okay, thank you, Casey, and thank you for watching. We'll see you later tonight at 10 o'clock on Fox 50, and then right back here at